Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Private Officer Beat Radio with Rick McCann at the microphone. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Private Officer Beat Radio Program, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International. And I was just checking out my notes, scribbling a few more things down to talk about. Oh, my goodness, we've got a lot to talk about, just like always. And really, I don't really think that some weeks the radio show time that we allow for the program does justice, because we normally end up with much more to talk about and not a whole lot of time. And that might be the case today. We're certainly going to try and pack it all in, though, during this program. I hope that you all have had a great weekend, and welcome to the month of March. Someone just told me over the weekend that March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. Yeah, I think I've heard that before. I think it references blustery weather, winds are blowing, but, you know, where I live, you know, I travel up and down the Atlantic coast weekly and live wherever I hang my hat or my head. We've had very little serious weather in recent months, not a whole lot of snow. And from what I've heard, this spring, March and April, is going to kind of bring in some of that severe weather, tornadoes, things of that nature. I just saw on the West Coast, some places got a substantial snowfall. Northern California, for instance, Nevada, substantial snowfall. And that doesn't happen all that frequently, so it's a little bit new to them. But working in the private security, law enforcement business, anyone who's a first responder, we work in the weather. We work in the weather. And, of course, we have to be prepared for that. We have to have the right gear. We've got to have the right clothing. And one of our POI members is up in the far, far New England, way up near the Canada border, and they're used to it. And I was talking to him last year about that very subject, and he says, you know, especially during the winter, we have our boots, our parkas, our gloves in the vehicle 24/7. We're prepared because it does snow here unannounced, and sometimes it can snow for days. And of course, if you live in the south, you might have to prepare for those tornadoes or even you know, occasional hurricanes. So weather, that's really a big factor in what we do. Why am I telling you all of this today? Well, just because there's been such a huge variance of weather just this past week. We have seen temperatures in the southeast up to 80. We've seen snow falling in places like California. We have seen a lack of rain in many areas of the country. So the weather does definitely play a big part in what we do. I want to remind you that tomorrow night, Tuesday the 5th, two very special things are going to kick off. Number one, it's going to be the kickoff of the Citizens Police Academy, sponsored by Armor College Law Enforcement, and we're very excited about that. This year, and this is the fifth year, I believe, that we've been doing it, this year we're going to be putting in a lot more interactive modules, videos. Of course, the last couple of times that we've held the Citizens Police Academy, we also made arrangement with local law enforcement to have ride-alongs, and that was fun for those who participated. And one person was also sent to the range with the police department in their community, and that was definitely a lot of fun. It's not too late to sign up. Contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com if you're interested. The other exciting thing for me that's kicking off tomorrow night is our Cold Case Unit Investigators conference call coming up tomorrow night. Again, we are still looking for folks who are interested in helping to put together information for cold cases involving not only the murder of private security and law enforcement, but also aggravated assaults involving weapons. And about six times a year, we also have security officers that go missing. We have a brand new series that we're putting together about that very subject. And security officers aren't the only one. Actually, law enforcement occasionally go missing from their jobs. Just recently, a police officer disappeared while on duty from his training class, and it turned out that he drove off, he committed suicide. And so we're going to try to do some work on those cases as well. We're researching now how many security officers still remain missing, and we'll update you on that. Today, I want to talk about two convictions of murder suspects, both convicted of killing security officers just last week, found guilty, and also kind of a not really a surprising conversation, but a security company owner and I talked, and I want to tell you when and how they update their security training. We're going to take a quick break, of course, but we're coming right back because I got a lot more to say, like always. Are you looking for the finest private security officer training in the Charlotte metropolitan area? Do you need PPS qualifications in armed or unarmed training? Or maybe you're over there across the line in South Carolina and you need the SLED training? Well, we've got the right training at the right time for you. Premier Training Academy, located at 5624 Executive Center Drive, Suite 142 in metropolitan Charlotte, North Carolina. Give them a call today, 704-806-4933. They also offer firearms training, personal protection, first aid and CPR, and so much more. Call John at 704-806-4933.
When I was a gang leader, we probably did business together. Because when people like you buy knockoffs on the street, often the money goes to gangs. And gangs use this easy money for other activities. In other words, they're getting a lot of bang for their buck.
Counterfeits hurt, but you have the power to stop them. Go to www.ncpc.org/get real. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance, U.S. Department of Justice.
This past week has been a big week for justice, for private law enforcement and private security across the country. Three different individuals have been convicted of murder of private security. One person was convicted of killing a private law enforcement officer. And three others have been convicted of shooting security officers or assaulting security officers. I know many times, and I've heard this throughout the years, many security personnel and others say that the police don't really care much about security or private law enforcement. They don't treat them like officers. They don't treat them in the same fashion as they would if they were a police officer in that town or some other jurisdiction. They don't, in other words, work as diligently on the cases as they would if it were, you know, one of their own. And that may have been the case somewhere along the way. I don't know. But I will tell you this, in my experience, it's not so. Police officers, homicide detectives especially, work every case till there is no more leads. And then they must continue on working other cases. But these cases that are sitting on their desk are always being worked. When new information, new leads, new folks call in, or Crime Stoppers tip comes in, they work the case. Now, this past week, a situation that had happened in Virginia, where two campus officers were murdered this past week, that man was sentenced to two life sentences plus 6 years after pleading guilty to four charges, including two counts of first-degree murder. Alexander Wyatt Campbell entered the Bridgewater College, a private college, on February the 1st, 2022, and shot and killed a campus public safety officer and a sworn private police officer. John Painter, the police officer, and J.J. Jefferson, the campus officer, were both gunned down as they investigated a suspicious person call. Campbell killed them in cold blood and was hunted down and taken into custody shortly thereafter. And now justice for the families of the deceased officers, the faculty and students of Bridgewater College, the community in Rockingham County, and the Commonwealth of Virginia has been done. They have finally received the justice that they deserved. These two officers gave their life. They were best friends. I've told the story here before. We're actually doing a video, a publication about this specific shooting. They gave their life to protect that college. Many security officers and private police officers, they lay their life on the line like any law enforcement officer. And last week, the jury, the judge, the police, they can stand tall because they brought justice to these families. Every week, we see where people are found guilty in the murder or aggravated assault. Michael Brandon Kent of Fresno County, California, was found guilty last week of second-degree murder for the 2023 murder of Security Officer James Buford. It happened on July 19th at Witten Park near Sanger. Kent was arrested a week after the shooting in Missouri by the U.S. Marshals. Federal agents had hunted him down. The security officer was murdered and then thrown into some brush, and a utility worker found the murdered 69-year-old security officer near the park. Authorities worked the case, worked the leads, and was able to identify Michael Kent as a suspect. And with good police work, they were able to find him, bring him into custody, and now justice has been served for this family as well. Brian Haas was charged with shooting a security officer in 2022. And he too was found guilty and given 18 years in prison. We spent a lot of time here at Private Officer International working with Crime Stoppers, police departments, and tracking these cases through the system, through the investigative aspect as well as the court aspect. And that's why I'm excited for tomorrow night, because I know that some of these people are going to really be as dedicated as we are in helping to solve murders and aggravated assaults, working the cold cases, working with the law enforcement, the public, and other aspects to bring about resolve. Not too late. If you're interested, contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
And move over. When you see lights,
mask,
or reflectors,
please give us some room. Slow down and move over. When you need us,
we've got your back.
You have ours.
You got our back?
You got ours? You got our back? Please, slow down.
And move over.
Human trafficking is slavery.
And it happens all over America.
Any child, any woman, any man could potentially become a victim of human trafficking.
I am a victim of labor trafficking.
I was victim of child sex trafficking, but now I own my body.
Human trafficking is any kind of forced labor.
It can happen to anybody.
I am a mother.
I am an author.
I am a son.
I'm an advocate.
I am an educator.
I'm a sister.
I am a brother.
I'm so much more than what happened to me.
I am strong.
I am brave.
I am outspoken.
I am compassionate.
I am a survivor.
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 I am a survivor of human trafficking.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Life is precious. Ask any of these people. They've been given a second chance at life through organ and tissue donation. But there are more than 84,000 Americans waiting for life-saving transplants. 17 people die every day waiting. I didn't know this until I lost my best friend, Lyric. She gave the gift of life to 5 people. That's why I've become an organ donor, too. One decision saves so many lives. Donate life.
This past week, our office staff looked at our newsletter subscriptions, those that we have for many years provided free of charge. It is very costly to us, man hour wise. It takes about 100 hours or more a week. I have told you we've had to have people dedicated just for this job. We write a lot of our own news stories after research. We have a statistician. We have a person who's dedicated to communicating with law enforcement and news sources and the public to document things. And unfortunately, my office found that more than 1,200 people have dropped the newsletter subscription because it's no longer free. We were charging a very meager, a very small amount. And in recent weeks, we even dropped that subscription to a lower amount, $29, and still people are unsubscribing. There are many reasons for getting the newsletter. Obviously, the news, you're going to get updated with all of the news stories. You're going to get specific information on officer deaths and serious injuries. You're going to get training opportunity notices and a whole lot more. Newsletters are an important communication device. It's something that we have used from day one to contact and communicate with our members. We can't call each one specifically, obviously. That would just take forever. And we can't send out communique in group form. We need to shotgun this out, broadcast it out in a large to our large audience at one time. And unfortunately, many people have used our news for training, for information, disseminated among their own company. But when it came to having to pay for minimal, I guess it just lost its value. And I'm still pretty upset about that because it's not specifically a way for us to make money. It is a way for us to pay our bills like any other business. And unfortunately, if people don't support our newsletters and news products, we may have to delete it, not do it anymore. In a business, there's a lot of overhead. And obviously, we're providing a service and a product. And it can't always be free. We do have many free offerings. Like, for instance, the Citizens Police Academy, a 15-week program. Think about it. It just doesn't happen. We have to put it together. We have to spend our time, our efforts, our skills. And the same goes for the newsletter. So I'm still a little bit, dismayed about all of this, but you can sign up anytime. Go to our website, privateofficer.org. I was talking it's been about 10 days actually, to a security company owner, and we were talking about training, and he said, I'll be frank with you, we just don't have the time. We don't have the time to update the non-required training. We don't have the time to put together specific training. We've talked about it. We'd like to do it, but we do have a high turnover rate as a contract security company. I can't really afford to bring people into the office once a month to do 2 or 3 or 8 hour training, because we have to pay them. We could suggest that they come to the training, and then we wouldn't have to pay them. But if I tell them it's mandatory training, then that's coming out of my pocket, not out of our clients. And that's always been the problem. People always have to consider the bottom line. I know, I'm a business owner. I understand we have to consider, where is that money coming from? And if it's coming from the bottom line, how deep into our profits will it go? And can we really afford to do that? Frankly, he told me that the last time that they sat down and rewritten their training was 2007. And according to some of the things that was looked into, he said it's obvious that it had to be updated. It's obvious that someone needs to spend time to upgrade the training, but it's just not in the budget, and it's just not in the time. But he is going to look at that again, and hopefully I've given him a couple of suggestions, and maybe they will follow it. But this is a problem. In public safety, EMS, fire service, law enforcement, we're training every week. Do you know at the firehouse, when firefighters have downtime and they're not running calls, or they're not doing maintenance on vehicles or cleaning the firehouse, yes, that's all duties that we have, they're doing training, drills. 1 week it might be ladders. Next week it might be, pumping, going over the pumper and pumping and doing something to stay fresh. Not every fire station has a structure fire every day. Not every EMS responds to 1,000 calls a week. Not every station is busy. So we need to keep all of our skills fresh and make sure that it's updated. But unfortunately, with private security, good is always good enough. We don't really think in the terms or the realm of true professional providers. Time and time again, we hear people say, I've got my guard card. I've got my concealed weapons permit. I've got what's required, and that's all I'm going to do. That's all I need. But the fact is, with hundreds and thousands of security officers being injured on the job, we need much more than we have. And that's even for the unarmed. Unarmed security officers really should have some type of hand-to-hand combat. They really should have situational awareness advanced, de-escalation advanced, and all of these other skills and training regularly. Now, I can understand the argument in contract security. It's a high turnover rate, revolving door, et cetera, et cetera. But there are many companies that have their own proprietary staff, and they train them no differently than if they were contract. There are some companies, and I've been with some, and I've known of some, hospitals especially, and schools, they do add additional training. But it's really not a common thing across the country. We really need to update our training. We really need to update our skills. Unfortunately, every day, as we look through more than 3,000 news sources, I can show you those reasons why this is a must. Injuries, deaths are on a substantial increase. Doesn't that worry you? Doesn't that worry your family? It would me. There was a time when I thought, well, you know, some assignments could be unarmed. But as I'm looking more and more at what's happening across the country, that's really not my thoughts anymore. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the Private Officer Beat Radio. Across the country, there's a new 3-digit emergency number if you're feeling suicidal. If you're experiencing a life crisis, 988 is now the three digits that you can dial, just like 911 across the country. You'll connect with mental health professionals, and the 988 number will connect you with the Crisis Lifeline, formerly known as the National Suicide Prevention Line. Veterans can press 1 after dialing 988 to connect directly to the Veterans Crisis Lifeline, which serves our nation's veterans, service members, National Guard, and Reserve members, and those who support them. For text, veterans should continue to text the Veterans Crisis Lifeline, short code 838-255. Too many people experience suicidal crisis or mental health-related distress without the support and care that they need. But you're not alone. Simply pick up the phone and dial or text 988. Someone will answer that phone who is caring, understanding, and there to help you. 988. There is hope. Invited to read all of our news at Private Officer Breaking News. Blogspot.com. This is fresh daily and available to you 24/7. You can also join the conversations on Facebook / Private Officer International and on Twitter / Private Officer. Today in the breaking news, Berkeley, California police say an armed security officer at a local clothing store has been charged with felony aggravated assault and vandalism after throwing a metal mannequin and other items at other security officers. Police say that he was asked to leave after causing a disturbance at the store. Likey Cawthorn, 26, of San Leonardo, California, has been charged with two counts of aggravated assault, assault deadly weapon, and committing vandalism. Police say that a disturbance at the store occurred when the co-workers asked this security officer to leave because he had been rude to several people and that he had slapped an employee earlier. An unruly crowd of over 600 people at the Six Flags Over Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. This occurred over the weekend. Gunshots were fired. One person was shot. Police returned fire. Security at the 290-acre theme park called police in Cobb County several times for backup after people refused to disperse or leave the property after multiple fights. Police from multiple jurisdictions were called in, and now investigations are underway for possibly more arrests. In Portland, Oregon, off-book unlicensed guards shootings increase. A 7-Eleven store that allowed a man to store a loaded gun behind the counter while getting paid off the books to provide security because he was not licensed nor qualified to carry that firearm has led to a shooting in 2022, and now there's a lawsuit. The family of Jason Kitfather, who was killed by this unlicensed security guard, has now sued 7-Eleven, the franchise holder, and the man involved. They're asking for more than $3 million. Today, at the bottom of this program, we'll be talking about off-book and the gig community and how this has really caused a lot of excessive force incidents and other problems in the security field. Over 250,000 cases that the Houston police dropped because they just didn't have the manpower to investigate are now back on their books. HPD Chief Troy Finer says that he has reinstated these cases and put manpower on it to make sure that they're investigated and or prosecuted fully. In Stockton, California, Safeway Security have rolled out new barriers and one-way egress gates to try to push down the retail theft and the ORC that's happening in that community. Safeway is not the only store using this method. Other stores now are also allowing only one way in and one way out, and a lot of locked up merchandise. A security officer in Boca Raton, Florida, has filed a discrimination lawsuit against the Boca West County Country Club. According to the lawsuit, the security officer says she was discriminated against by management for having breast cancer. A separate complaint has been filed with the EEOC as well. A man who killed two campus police officers, we told you about this earlier, has received two life sentences. Police are currently investigating a shooting of a security officer. This occurred in the Highlands area of New York. Police said that the man is still on the loose. San Diego police said they have arrested a man, and that man has now been tried in state court and has received 113 years prison term for the murder of another security officer. Floyd Garrett, 51, was convicted in San Diego of the December 28, 2019 killing of security officer Ernest Lee Buchanan, a 44-year-old security officer at a shelter. This would make the third conviction for murder this past week. A very odd and strange situation happened in Irving, Texas, just outside of Dallas. An armored truck was robbed. A Brinks security officer was stripped of his pants during that robbery. Cell phone video caught and shared this strange sighting. The Brinks employee was forced to remove his gun, and then the robber took his pants off. A very bizarre situation. The security officer was not injured, and the suspect has not been caught. A suicidal on-duty security officer held police at bay for more than an hour, firing off multiple rounds in Rapid City in a park. The suspect was identified as James Edward Brown. Allegedly, he fired multiple shots from his company vehicle during a standoff on February 28. The incident occurred at a park where he was on patrol. He was attempting suicide, according to police, but then when police arrived, he turned his attention to the police. Brown was arrested, charged with reckless discharge of a firearm, resisting arrest, DUI, and possession of a loaded firearm while intoxicated. But there's no mention as to whether or not he sought mental health treatment or if police took him to a mental health facility. A Chicago security officer was involved in a shootout with a robbery suspect. Police were called to the Roseland neighborhood on East 115th. The shootout between the suspects and the security officer took place after they say the suspects was somehow involved in the confrontation. The suspects fled. Police are still investigating. In Chesapeake, Virginia, police investigated a theft where thieves stole more than $100,000 worth of Apple products, all from Walmart. The Walmart Global Investigations Unit assisted police in multiple jurisdictions in Virginia where these thieves would hit the stores and rob, only steal Apple products. A veteran Missouri police officer and a process server was killed in Kansas City, Missouri. Police say the two independent police officers and a civil process server were shot, two of them fatally, on Thursday while serving an eviction. A tactical response unit was notified to help extract the officer's body from the front porch. The victims were taken to a trauma center. Two are deceased. One is in critical condition. Also in the news this week, a Tennessee juvenile detention center security officer was attacked, brutally beaten, leaving him with broken ribs, concussion. This happened in Dandridge, eastern part of Tennessee. The suspects are still currently wanted. In Columbia, South Carolina, a contract security guard there was arrested with marijuana at a South Carolina juvenile justice facility. Albrezia Dickerson, 30, was charged with possession of marijuana at a correctional facility, a felony. Enfield, Connecticut has decided, after debate, to hire armed security for their school systems. According to the news release, they had looked at this option for several months. Currently, they don't have any security. An 18-year-old has been charged with attempted murder of a school security officer. This happened in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The 18-year-old Edgar Padilla is in custody on an attempted first-degree intentional homicide. When you want to see news happening, just go to Private Officer Breaking News. .blogspot.com. I'll be back. We're talking today about off-book security. It's illegal, it's dangerous, and it's growing.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Armor College, a public safety institute. We train those who help others. Paramedics and emergency medical technicians, firefighters, police officers, law enforcement, private security, bail enforcement, and those on the front line. Check us out today at armorcollege.org.
Each day, those that protect and serve us in law enforcement put their lives on the line. These law enforcement officers often work long and irregular hours in tough and dangerous conditions, run a high risk of being attacked, wounded, or even killed by the very criminals that prey on us. Every year, hundreds of law enforcement officers are killed or seriously injured in the line of duty. Blue Alert is a system that provides the means to speed the apprehension of violent criminals who kill or seriously injure local, state, or federal law enforcement officers. Find out how you can truly help those who help. That's BlueAlert.us.
Have you ever heard the terminology off-book? Have you ever contemplated really what does that mean? What does it cover? Why do they use that terminology? For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at not only how that terminology is relevant to the private security business, but also how it is relevant to law enforcement. Through the years on this program, we've been able to bring you many stories about law enforcement working off book, subcontracting themselves to be security at all sorts of venues and businesses, ranging from bars to apartment complexes, to bodyguard work. And through the years, equally, we've brought you as many, if not more, stories about how private security has often gone around and around the block to work illegally without the proper license, insurance, training, and now we're finding in the last 2 or 3 years since COVID, increase, an uptick of private security businesses going off book, putting security personnel out on assignment who have not been properly licensed by their state regulatory agency, who is not properly trained, and who is not currently covered by the company's general liability insurance. And I'll tell you in a moment how that all happens. Everyone, it seems now, is getting involved in off-book work. There's a whole contingency, a whole network of what they now call gig workers. And yeah, it did. It happened right around COVID, as many companies locked down, gig workers began to grow by leaps and bounds. You see, gig workers have been around for years, at least 50, according to our research. What is a gig worker? It's somebody who's an independent contractor. Might work online, might do various work for multiple companies. They might be a musician. They might be a delivery person. If you are one who follows social media or your local news, then you see all of these companies popping up where roofers, where plumbers, we are the max for car cleaning. You want your car spotless, better than new condition? Hey, just call Joe. And I'll be there in a flash. Gig workers enter into some type of an agreement, not always formal, not always written, but usually some type of, hey, this is what we do, this is what we charge. But other than that, many times there's really no explanation as to all the details of the work, or who will be responsible should something go wrong, or if any insurance is required of anybody. And unfortunately, this gig working whole new deal, while it really is an advantage for many because they can work their own hours, they can take whatever day they need to off to take care of other business, or even just to take a day off for the fun of it. There's many advantages for those who employ these off-book type people. But there are also many disadvantages. And in my own study, in the last 2 weeks, I have found murder after murder committed by off-book security. Not only those who were not licensed, but some who were working for actual bona fide security agencies, but they were not licensed at that time by the state. The company hurried them out to a job assignment without the necessary completion of paperwork and insurance and so forth. And we'll talk about that. If I don't get to it today, we'll definitely talk to it about it on part two. Everyone, it seems like, is getting involved in this off-book. We have talked for years about unlicensed security officers' involvement in homicides, killing people unnecessarily and illegally, oftentimes the use of lethal force wasn't even a possibility. It wasn't even something that anyone would use. We're seeing an uptick of shootings involving those who are not properly licensed. And I have to say, I know and I realize that there are many states still who do not require proper licensing or training of security. But there's also that key element, two key elements. One, contract security, hiring people through their licensed agency, but not properly finishing documentation or training. And two, off-duty police officers. And boy, don't even get me started with that. I've worked those off-duty jobs, so I understand the need. You can't survive on an officer's income, especially if you have a family, children. You know, there's a lot of overhead in having a family and paying bills, and it's just not covered by your police salary. I mean, it just isn't. And so off-duty jobs are necessary. But as I've mentioned on this program through the years, unfortunately, only some police departments bring all of the booking inside the police department. They schedule the assignment, they assign the officers, and they cover the insurance. Of course, they also get a piece of the pie. If they charge the client $50 an hour, the officer might get $35 or $37.50. The rest goes to inside. There are several companies, off-duty officers, a couple of other companies that do similar things. They book the private jobs for security. They take a piece of the pie, and we'll get into that. We'll get into that quite a bit more. Off-book deals are beneficial, both to the client, who doesn't want to get involved in big contracts, doesn't want to assume the liability or the risk should something happen, and doesn't want to know anything whatsoever about what happens between that security officer and whoever they might come into contact with. If there's a use of force incident, if there's a fatality, you know, hey, I don't know. He was working for himself. He's a subcontractor. I don't know. I'm not responsible. And it's not just in the security business. Many companies hire subcontractors. In my regulatory training that we do through Armor College for a number of states, we find this to continuously be a situation, a problem. Many, many companies of all types hire people. They call them subcontractors, but the actuality, the facts are, they're not. They're actually employees. You see, an employee is someone who is hired by a company and told what time to come to work, what time to go to the bathroom, what time to take lunch, what time to punch out, what time to go home, what days they have off, when their vacation is, whether or not they get overtime. That's an employee, not a subcontractor. A true subcontractor dictates their own hours, comes and goes when they want, as long as they can provide the job in the timely manner as specified. A true subcontractor carries workers' comp, general liability, and is regulated, licensed, and abides by all the laws. So for instance, I subcontract. Through my company, we contract with other companies. There are many, 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 many types of businesses. Have you ever had a house built? Have you ever gone from the ground to the roof? Well, I can tell you firsthand, everybody's a subcontractor. Everyone from the plumber to the electrician to the foundation people to, you know, the people who put up the walls, the people who put it in the cabinets. Nobody's working for the same company. They're all subcontractors, subs. And in my training, my regulatory training, we run into this all the time. In fact, in the last couple of years, it's been obvious that many of the workers are illegals. They're here illegally. They're working illegally. They're getting money illegally. They're not paying taxes. There's so many problems with this. And yet, America government is looking the other way, blind eye to the facts. But we're seeing more and more of this, and it's entered the private security field just this year. Two different times. illegal immigrants working as security guards have used deadly force. It's not the first time we've had this situation in years past. It's not so much that they're here illegally, it's that they're not licensed, they can't be licensed, they're not being paid properly or legally because they can't, because they're not a citizen. There are so many issues, and I don't want this to turn into an illegal immigration sermon, but they do play a role in what's happening in the security and private law enforcement and even policing today. How can you, in good conscience as a business owner, whether you're the client or the service provider, put someone there off book illegally? I understand that in some states there's no license for security. So, in talking with someone recently, within the last month, the reason why they operate still in Mississippi is because Mississippi has no license for bail bond, private investigator, or contract security. All that you need, if you're going to be armed, is a gun permit from the state police, highway patrol. Otherwise, if you're not armed, or if you're going to be armed but you don't want people to know it, you don't need a license. You don't need an individual license, and you don't need a state license, and you don't need any training. And that's not just for private security, but also for private investigations and bail enforcement, bail bonds companies. There are still other companies out there who operate in multiple states and aren't licensed even in the ones that require it. We're seeing collectively across the country and worldwide the same issue. I've told you this so many times. We really do look at more than 3,000 news sites. We get news emails, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds every day, press releases, law enforcement news releases, and many other news-related emails and information. And we see what's happening here in Australia, in South Africa, in England, in France, in other countries where they're experiencing the same thing. Many people working without a license, many people no insurance, many people no training. And while this might benefit the client, and it definitely benefits those providing the service, because most of them are not paying taxes, most of them are not paying for insurance, it really causes a huge danger, a huge, huge issue in safety for the client, for the people who do business with the client, for that individual who might be committing a crime, even at the lowest level, because the security officer may not know what to do or how to do it or how much force to use or if they can detain someone. And things can go bad real quick, real quick. And this really is not good, whether you're in France or Germany or wherever. But I can tell you firsthand that we have noticed this for a number of years, but like I said, since COVID, our attention has been drawn to several companies who are known to do this on a regular basis, to put people who are unlicensed out there, because they're only going to be there for, you know, a week or two, maybe on a special event. So they don't license them, because by the time they do, well, the contract is over. The job is done. The person's left, moved on. So why should we license them? So if something happens while they're working on that temporary assignment, while they're working on that special event, while they're working on that construction site for just a few weeks, if something were to happen, that person gets injured, that person uses lethal force, that person's involved, like last year, in a drowning and dies, well, who's at fault? Who's going to pay? You know, it's a problem. You may have been doing it yourself. You may be subcontracting yourself. Next week, part two, we'll talk about how contract security officers who are licensed are doing the same thing. They're going out and selling themselves as security companies. And we've seen this before. We've brought it to your attention, but now it's easier than ever because everybody's hiring people on a temporary subcontracted basis. And so security guards who are properly licensed are going out saying, oh, yeah, I have a security business. I have a security license. And they show their security ID or their registration, and that client just assumes that's all that's necessary, and whammo, he's in business. He's a subcontractor, and the company is alleviated of all risk and liability because now he's got a subcontractor who's properly licensed, but he's not properly licensed or insured. Police doing the same thing. In many areas, subcontracting themselves while they have no certain business license, no regulatory license, no insurance many times. Just recently, this situation has come up where police shot and killed two people while working security at a nightclub. And although, you know, that nightclub tried to put it off on the police department, the police department clarified those officers were working on their own time as security guards. Both officers could be facing charges. Now, just recently, the Attorney General decided not to bring criminal charges in the shooting, but are looking at whether or not they were properly licensed to begin with. So many issues in this off-book gig world. Everybody wants to be an independent contractor these days because they can grab that money and not pay taxes, not have to worry about getting a license, not worry about training, not worry about anything that a normal, legitimate business would have to be concerned about. Next week in part two, we're going to tell you how some of these security officers who are registered as an individual are starting to not only be involved in use of force incidents, but how they're actually taking away jobs from truly licensed, insured security agencies. We'll tell you how police are doing the same thing. It is not a good method of operation. For all of the points that I've brought out here today and all of the points that I will bring out next week in part two. That's going to do it for this week. Y'all be blessed out there. Stay safe. Do things the right way, and you'll never have to look over your shoulder. Until the next time, we'll see you back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.